It's welcome, visitors, welcome.
Brothers and sisters, it's glorious to be here this morning. These last 3 weeks have just been amazing, amazing. And the fact that I get to the privilege of today to just remind you after we're going to make this, I'm going to make this as short as I can. It's kind of hard. But we're going to have a baptism. And I want to talk a little bit about that. And there's so many things that are on my mind and my heart, and it's just so amazing when I see old friends and people that I haven't seen in a while, and it's new people. It's just amazing. For those of you who are visitors, we spend a lot of time back and forth in prayer, and we believe that God hears us, that He is alive, and that He is risen.
Amen. Truly, He is risen.
Amen. And because of that, we come to Him, we come to His throne, His throne of grace, with confidence. And so let's open this up right and invite the King of the universe. Lord God, we thank You, Father, for your mercy. We thank You, Lord, that You save. We thank You, Lord, that You hear. We thank You that You have written all the things that were going to happen, and so they have. And so they continue, just as You have written, just as You have planned. You are the God who sees the beginning from the end. You are the God who is in control of all these things, even when life seems so out of control. You're the one who is making all things new. And we thank You that You have given us this great truth. And we thank You that You have given us Your Son, even Your one and only Son, Your glorious Son who came and who fulfilled all righteousness and who made all things new. We thank You, Lord, that He is the one that we look to, that He is the one that we proclaim, that He is the one who saves us and makes us new. Father, I pray that You would open up eyes, ears, minds, and hearts to these great truths as only You can, as it is written, unless You draw them, none can come. And so we come and we ask, and so we come and we bid Thee come here amongst us to change us, to make us different than when we first came in. And we thank You for all that You're going to do. And I thank You, Lord, especially for all that You have already done. And for all that You're going to do, the excitement and the wonder is glorious. In Jesus' name, amen. Expectations, it's an amazing thing. I've titled today's message, short message, it's New Beginnings. As I mentioned to some of you that were already here, my mother, it was right before we started worship practice, my sister called and said, "Mom's in the hospital again. She's pretty serious. They have her in ICU." I said, "Okay, keep me informed." I said, "I've got the service to do, and once we're done, I'll check in with you and see how you're doing. See how everything's going." And it was just an amazing thing. And I mentioned that. Believe it or not, it is part of the message. I titled it A New Beginning. And I want to focus in on John chapter 3. John chapter 3 is an account. The Bible is in, for the most part, it is an account. It's an account. It's a historical book. It's a book that is literal. It's a book of also poems and poetic writings, expressions that are unbelievable. But it is also an account. These are things that actually took place in the first century, the part that we're going to be reading. This was an event of a man who was a Jew and who practiced the law. He was a Pharisee. And being a Pharisee, Pharisees were all about, "Hey man, we're in the business of being righteous. We don't want to break the law. We're going to do it. We can do it. We're going to lift ourselves up by our bootstraps and we're going to do this." And they were always reading in the law. The law was not something that was new to them. It was something that they've known from when they were little, and they grew up with it. The law was something that is inscribed. It's essentially the first five books of Moses, they call them. The Pentateuch, the Tanakh, it's all these things. But it was sacred to them. But what had happened was they had lost their focus. They had misunderstood, and they had put into the minds of men that it was supposed to be something that it wasn't, not what God intended. And so here's this account of this man who all of a sudden on the scene there in Jerusalem and there in Israel the city's there, there's this other man that comes. He's a carpenter's son. He grew up in Nazareth. And they knew him. They knew of him. But this guy came teaching something that was, whoa. Hey, now, you're taking this a little bit too far. That's not what it means. We know we're learned men. But Jesus, nonetheless, came teaching something totally different. They knew a God who said, you must do this, 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 and this. And if you say that you will and you don't, then twice as many things are you going to be cursed with. You have to do this, you have to do that. You got to say this, you can't say that. You got to look this way, you can't look that way. You got to dress this way, you can't dress that way. You got to worship in this place, you can't worship in that place. That's what they had come to know. And that's what they thought that God was, this cosmic killjoy. No bacon. You can't. God forbid you should have any fun. God forbid that you should laugh. Because you're so busy keeping the law. Jesus came and taught something that was amazing to them. When he taught the law as they taught it, they said, you must do this and this. Jesus says, if you even think about that, you're guilty. If you even think about that, you're guilty. He raised the bar. I can't reach it. He raised the bar way up there. This man came to Jesus. Something was working in his heart. Something was working within him to bring him to the understanding that this Jesus, he's different. I got to find out what it is this guy's really about. What is this guy really about? But I'm a Pharisee. And see, they had already made enemies of Jesus. Because what you have to understand is that a person in power who loves power, who loves the fame, who loves the respect, who loves the greetings of the people, he doesn't want to lose his place. He doesn't want to lose that he has. And that's what these guys were all about. But Jesus was humble. Jesus came and he was amongst the sinners. He was amongst the alcoholics. He was amongst the prostitutes. He was amongst the tax gatherers. He was amongst them. He was there with them. And when confronted by these Pharisees, those famous words, you're a drunk, you hang out with drunks and sinners. And he said, I'm the great physician. I've come to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. He says, a healthy person doesn't need a doctor. What need does a righteous have of God? What do they need God for? They're righteous. But the sick, they need a doctor. And I'm the great physician. I'm here to heal them. I'm here to touch them. I'm here to make them new. Those open wounds that nobody else will touch, I'll touch them. Those wounds from a life horribly lived in sin, I'll touch that. I'll change that. I'll heal that. Nicodemus is his name, and he came to Jesus. He came at night. I can't be seen by my bros, man. Maybe I can meet him at night. So we did. It says here in John chapter 3, it says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. What signs? He was healing people. People that were blind could now see. People that were lepers, skin like a baby. People that were lame, that couldn't walk, never knew how to walk, had crippled legs. All of a sudden, they could run like a deer. All these things he had seen with his own eyes, and he's like, that's got to be a man of God. But I have to come through to him at night so that I can ask him some questions. And it says here that he came to him at night because he was afraid of being seen. It says in verse 3, after he asked him, you must be, or told him, made that comment, you must be a teacher. He's acknowledging what he's thinking. Man, you've got to at least be a teacher, because nobody could do these things. God's got to be with you. And this is what I want the focus of my message to be. Jesus says in verse 3, the words that are probably some of the most important words in all of Scripture. Out of all the entire books, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, this is probably one of the most important sayings that Jesus said. He said, truly, truly, or as the Truth Project, amen, amen. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not seen with the eyes. The kingdom of God is not felt with the flesh. The kingdom of God is something that is beyond that. And he says, unless a person is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The question that pops into Nicodemus's mind is simply this. In verse 4, how can a man be born while he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? You know why he said that? Because Jesus used that same word for giving birth. But he wasn't talking about natural birth. He was talking about a spiritual birth. He was talking about something that was different. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 5, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You ladies who have had children, for 9 months, you carry this little precious life in your womb. What are they in? Water. It's the first thing that happens when you give birth. What's one of the signs? Rakes. It's time. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Person first has to come into this world the natural way. First comes the natural, he says in 2 Corinthians. And then he says, or 1 Corinthians, then he says, and the Spirit. And he cannot enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of these two things, the water and the Spirit. This is a necessary thing. This is a must. This isn't one of those things that, well, you know, maybe it's important. No, no. You cannot enter the kingdom of God otherwise. This is what Jesus spoke. Jesus is truth. God is truth. And what he's saying here is true. He knows what he's talking about. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. These are requirements of God. It's required. There's no getting around it. Now, you notice there, he didn't say, unless somebody does all the right things, unless somebody lives a certain way, unless somebody dresses and looks a certain way, unless somebody goes to this certain church, unless somebody helps the poor, unless somebody helps his mother and father and his family and his friends, unless he does all these good things, and unless he prays, and unless he reads, and unless he does all these things, that he will be born again. No, he doesn't say that. He just says, unless he's born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh, flesh. That which is born of Spirit is Spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And I love this part. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is the centrality of the Bible. You must be born again. In order to enter into a relationship with Christ, you must be born again. He says, He says here in John chapter 1, he says in John chapter 1, in verse 12, he says, John writing, "But as many as received him," Jesus, "to them," as many as received him, "to them, he gave the right to become a child of God." What does that word "become" indicate? What change? It means formerly I was this, but now I have the right to be this. I was that, now I'm this. He says that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become become children of God. By the way, that word "right" means it's a legal right. In the original language, it means that it's a legal right. In the courts of God's courts, in the law of God's court, you have the right, when you receive Jesus, to be called a child of God, to become a child of God. You're given the right by God. How do I know this? It says, to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And it says, verse 13, this is what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 3. Who were born, remember, you must be born again, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's not the will of the flesh. What he's saying here in short terms is simply this: you can't earn your way. You cannot earn your way to God. It's not possible. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God has to do this work. God is the one who does this work. I want to quickly share with you, I told you that I had a praise, and oh, what a praise. I've shared with you that Holly, who, it's as Facebook would put it, it's complicated. I became a Christian, and within 2 years, I became a Christian in 96, within 2 years, the change in me was so drastic, so black and white, that it scared her off. And I had learned to trust God and just say, you know, if that's what you need to do, then do what you have to do. And we've been separated ever since. She called me a couple weeks ago, and I went over and sat with her for a couple of hours, and then while talking to her, she had, unbeknownst to her, as I was telling, and I love to say, I looked at her and I said, "Girl, you went and got yourself saved and didn't even know it. You're saved because of the things." She's now seeking the things of the Spirit. She's now interested in the things of the Spirit. She's now just taking it in and soaking it in like a sponge. And that's amazing. Amen. And that was amazing. And then things happened at work, and then my mom got sick. Well, what I didn't tell you was my mom got sick, and my mom's sisters and brothers from Colorado, my uncle, he flew in. My other uncles went from, and niece went from Phoenix to San Diego to Nevada to pick up more of her sisters and brothers and come. And one of my cousins was with, two of my cousins were with them. And it was Thursday night. Yeah, it was Thursday night. We had all been gathered at my brother's house, and one of my aunts had cooked up a mean meal. It was good. And family friends that had come over, "Man, your aunts can cook." I'm like, "Yeah, these girls can cook it up, that's for sure. Sure enough, they can." And long story short, one of my aunts has we were at the hospital visiting earlier that day, and she has to take certain pills, and she had accidentally left them at my mom's room, unbeknownst to anyone. And she thought, so she had put them in my aunt's purse where they were before. And that evening, she's looking for her because she has fibromyalgia. And so she has to, when she feels that tinge of pain, she has to start getting on top of the pain right now, or it's going to be unbearable within, you know, an hour or so. And so she's looking for it, looking for it, looking for it. They can't find it. We're looking everywhere. And all of a sudden, people are all upset and all this chaos starts happening. And I'm just outside, oblivious to it all, just having a good time talking to aunts and uncles. And so I come inside and they're kind of explaining what to do. And my cousin and my niece went over to visit my mom. This was, mind you, it's already 10:30, 11:30 at night. And we're sitting there talking and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden the phone rings and my sister-in-law picks it up. And she's like, wait, what? Hold on a second, I can't hear you. She goes into the room and she's talking. And she says, okay, all right. She hangs up, and she said, my aunt, we call her, we don't even know where these nicknames come from, but we call her my tia Nani. And she says, mom called, so my sister-in-law calls my mom, because she's been a mother to her. She says, mom called and wants you to bring, one of you guys to bring the Nani over there. And I'll tell you, before those words were out, the Spirit of God was speaking and impressing on me, I got to make sure I have my Bible. And I got to make sure, I had just a couple days before, well, when I was going to go talk with Holly, I had bought some anointing oil that I could carry with me. And the Spirit was working in me to say, you got to have that with you. And so I did. I took it with me, made sure it was in the car, made sure it was there. We get there, and I grab my Bible, and I grab that. I don't know what's going on. I just know I got to have these things with me. Because I even debated, should I just leave it here? And within myself, I've got to grab it. I've got to make sure I got it. So I get there, and then we start talking. And little do I know that mom, had, in between me driving from the house to the hospital, mom had called again. Steve, you need to come. You need to be here with us. And we're already going, okay. Mom has, since my dad passed away, she has become more forthright in her Christianity. And we respect her. We love her. And when she says, you got to come, hey, we go. So we just respect and we honor that. So Steve came. Steve's going like, the girls took my car. How am I going to get there? And my younger brother says, I'll take you. Okay, now it's getting closer to midnight. And as we're sitting there talking, mom, all of a sudden, my brother walks in the room and she goes, Mijos, you guys got to pray for your tia and your cousin. And we're like looking at each other. Okay, we can do that. I said, well, let's talk about what's going on. So we said, okay, we'll pray. So I just start praying over my aunt. My aunt was struggling because her and her sister's relationship is not real good. And they were, my cousin was all upset because they had hurt her and were, she had had a stroke and she's the one that takes the medicine. She's the one that left him there at the hospital. And while we were sitting there, we prayed for her. We prayed for my, had my brother pray for my cousin. And he goes at one point, what am I supposed to pray? I don't know what's going on. And I said, brother, we're called. We just go and we pray in faith. You just trust God will give you. And I just poured that oil and he touched my cousin and we prayed for her. As we're sitting there talking, my cousin all of a sudden says, I'm tired. I'm tired of my life. I'm tired and I don't know what to do. I'm empty. And I see something that you have that I don't. I want that. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But I know that God has me here for a reason. I wasn't going to come. But at the last minute, I jumped into that truck. And she goes, and I couldn't believe it because I thought I was going to be exhausted. All the hours that we drove and all the things. And I just felt this joy. And I didn't know why. I didn't know what was going on. She goes, but I know that I'm here for a reason. And I'm so tired of my life. My grandchildren are asking me about Jesus, and I don't know what to say to them because I'm not a Christian. I don't know. And I want to know. And as we sat there, I began to explain to her. I said, Cynthia, let me ask you some questions. I said, you know, the Bible teaches that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that means that every person is guilty of sin before God. There's not one person that's on the face of the earth that has been or that ever will be that is not guilty before a holy, righteous God, deserving of His judgment. Do you believe that? And with tears flowing, yes. I know that's true. I know that's what I deserve. And I don't want that. I'm afraid. You should be afraid. That's biblical. There's a reason why you're afraid. Because you know that He's holy and you know that He's righteous. And you know that He is who He says He is. And you don't want to be judged. You don't want to be there on judgment day apart from Him. And you know that in your heart. So the Spirit of God is working. That came from God. That come from above. It doesn't come from you. God is speaking to you right now. I said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I said, you know, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. And that's the beauty of the gospel. And I said, Mija, this is the deal. You know that you're a sinner, you know that you're empty, and you know that this is what you want. And in the meantime, we're being interrupted every now and again, and nurses are coming in. Nurses are coming in, and they are, in one particular, one little gal, and I'll never forget it as I'm sitting there explaining to her, she's just mesmerized. The other one was just kind of nervous because we're not shy when we're sharing Christ with somebody like that. And I was sharing with her, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. I said, you know what? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died on the cross for your sins and that He can remove all your sins by the shedding of His blood? She goes, yeah, I believe that. I said, well, let me ask you this question then. Do you believe that you're a sinner? And that's a question that we first all have to ask. Because when Jesus came preaching, the first thing that He said was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that means to mentally, you volitionally, with your will, you willfully determine, I don't want to live that way. That's what she was saying. I don't want to live this way anymore. I'm tired. Tired of this life. I want a new life. I want to be able to share with my grandson. I'm ashamed. I said, Mija, we all are. We all have that. I said, there's not a person here that hasn't gone through hell, that hasn't been hell to their mom and dad or to their kids because of their sin. All of us are the same boat. We're all in the same shoes. We're all walking the same path that way. I said, but if you want to be free, you can. If you want to be free, you can. Do you believe that you're a sinner? I do. And do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and that He was buried and that on the third day that He rose again? I do. I really do. I really believe that. I said, okay. Then it's as easy as ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. Admit it to Him. Come to Him without any barriers. Come to Him. Don't blame it on your mom and dad. Don't blame it on your life. Don't blame it on all these things. Come to Him as you are and He'll receive you. And believe. Secondly, believe. Believe that He is the Son of God. Believe that He died on the cross for your sins. Believe that He was buried. And believe that on the third day that He rose again to a resurrection of new life. Believe that. And thirdly, C, ABC, confess. Confess Him. Confess Him as Lord. The Bible says in the book of Romans that if we confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
And I told her this. I said, you confess it. You confess it. And it took a little bit. And she thought about it. And she thought about it. And we talked a little bit more. And then, out of the blue, I'm ready. I'm ready. I said, okay. Do you want to pray to receive Jesus? She said, yes. I said, do you want to pray for yourself or do you want a little help? She said, I want a little help. And I said, okay. And if you believe that, and you're ready. God is tugging on your heart right now. She said, I do. I feel Him pulling me. And I can't explain it. You don't have to. I understand. I get it. I know what you're talking about. And this was the exact same words that Holly used when she was sitting in that service. It was like something was pulling me out of my chair. I can't help it. I had to go up. I had to kneel there and pray to God and ask for forgiveness and receive Him. I said, okay. And we prayed. Lord Jesus, I come to you and I believe. I come to you and I confess. I come to you and I admit that I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner worthy of your judgment. But I also believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And that you were buried, and on the third day you rose again. And I believe that you rose to new life. And I believe that you can forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life, come into my heart. Change me and make me new. Adopt me into your family, and I'll receive you unto myself. I have nothing to offer you but my sins. Please forgive me. And with great joy, as I held her, I just said, let it go. And she broke. And she wept. And she wept. And she wept. And as she's weeping, she is confessing. I'm so tired, Lord. I've felt so empty for so long. And she sat there and she cried for a while. And we prayed for her. We were praying and praying and praying. And when she was done and she had caught her breath and she was a little more relaxed, she said, I'm dizzy. Welcome to the kingdom, sis. Welcome to the kingdom, sis. Glory to God. New beginnings. There was a new birth that day. God had been drawing her. And she goes, I knew there was a reason why I came here. I knew there was a reason. I couldn't figure it out, but I knew that I had to be here. And it wasn't for my Thea. I wanted to see her, but it wasn't that. Now I know. And then I had her read here in John. I had her read, but as many as received. And I had her read it before she had prayed that prayer of faith. You know what her words were? I read it differently now. I understand it now. I guess. So the Spirit of God is within you. He's going to begin to teaching you, and you're going to see things new, and you're going to be different than you ever were. He's going to make you new. Oh, that I could go on. But we've got to get going. I want to close in prayer, and I want to ask that if anyone has never received Christ, that you can be born again. You can be born again here in this place. And the first act of obedience, baptism, as we believe the Bible teaches, is, and that's what we're going to perform, it's an act of obedience. It's an act of obedience. And it's also an act of faith. We do it in faith. Baptism does not save you. Jesus said, as I read to you, you must be born again, and that it is done by the will of God, not of man. It's not by your work. It's not by your blood. It's not by your heritage. It's not by all this stuff. It's not by your religion. It's not by any of those things. It's by God and God alone. And that's how He saves. That's how He saves. And if you've never received Christ, you can receive Him here in this place today, if you're willing. If God is drawing you, come. Surrender your life to Him so that He might work in you and change you and make you new. If you want to know what it's like to go wherever the wind is leading, to feel that wind and go, okay, I guess I got to go this way. I don't know where I'm going to end up, but I'm going to go. And that's what He comes to teach you. You see, Jesus didn't come to make bad men good. That was an absolute farce. He does, but that's not why He came. He came, number one, to free us. Free us from what? The bondage of death. He came to make dead men live. That's why He came. So the dead men who are dead in their trespasses could live. And that's why He gave His precious, holy, glorious life so that we might live. And if you've never given your life to Christ today, I beg of you, come. Jesus bids you, come. He comes, when you come to Him, He runs to you and He takes you up in His arms and He says, forgiven. I've left the 99 and I've come to you to save your soul. I've come to you to make you mine, and I'll make you new, and I'll promise you things that you could never have imagined if you'll only come. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We pray that, Lord, that you would draw men unto yourselves. What you began so long ago, we pray that you would just continue to do so. Lord, we once prayed that we admit that we're sinners and that we've come to you. Because we know that you died on the cross for our sins, and we know that you were buried and that you rose again on the third day. And we ask, Lord, that you forgive. We ask that you make new. That you would adopt sons and daughters here in this place for your name's sake. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us this rite of baptism. Father, we ask that you would make new believers, that you would plant those seeds for those who are here for the seed, that you would plant it deep in rich soil, glorious soil, fertile soil, for your name's sake, that you would be glorified, and that you would be the one who gets the glory. Father, we pray that you would do all these things, and we submit ourselves and subject ourselves unto you this day, that you would do your will. And that if there's any that are out there, Lord, that are listening to this message, that need you, that they would come with open arms, come with empty hands, and just come as they are, dirty, sinful, rotten sinners like I was. Because you're the one who makes clean. You're the soap that we need. You're the detergent, your blood. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness and from all sin. And so, Lord, we ask that you would do these things. That you would make new followers here for your name's sake. That they would come, admit, believe, and confess. Lord, we thank you, and we praise you, and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.